He's removed all the insulation from my ceiling above the bedroom, and that gives him direct access where he could manipulate and get his way into the vents.
In real estate, they have this saying, location, 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 meaning the location of a property is the single most important aspect, always. My family learned that the hard way, just how quickly one bad neighbor could turn a dream home into a nightmare. I don't want to give away exactly where we live, so I can't say what city we're in. But I can say that it has a really enchanting historical district with lots of brick and mortar industrial era buildings. For as long as we've been together, my wife and I have always wanted to live in one of those old-fashioned townhomes that were renovated from closed-down factories and mills and things like that. So when we got married and worked our jobs for a few years and saved up enough money, we went and bought one. Almost everything about the property was perfect. The only problem was our next-door neighbor. We shared one side of our townhome with his, and even though ours was pristine, his was less than so. To be completely frank, he was an embarrassing dump to live next to. He lived alone and always claimed to be in the process of renovations whenever we got the chance to talk to him, which was rare. Despite all of those problems with our neighbor, we felt like we couldn't be upset with him or snotty about any of it. After all, he was an elderly man who probably lost his wife a few years back, so there was pity in our hearts for him. All in all, however, we hardly saw him, so we paid him no mind. My wife and I had our own lives to get on with, and within a year or so, we had our first child. Not long after our daughter was born, we started to see our neighbor more often. "That's a beautiful child you have there. Congratulations."
"Oh, thank you."
At first, we figured that seeing the birth of a new life had sparked some new life within him as well. But that didn't last long once we started to get really familiar with his habits. We'd catch him peeking through his window at us while we were coming home from a walk with our baby. But he didn't come out to talk to us most of the time. He just watched. And it was right about that time that the house started making sounds that it had never made before. All old buildings make noises at night, but after a few weeks you get completely used to them. It's extremely unsettling when you start hearing an all-new array of bumps in the night over a year after you've moved in. I've had raccoon and rat problems before. It's creepy. The scuttling and scratching, the little squeaks and grunts. But this was unlike anything I'd ever heard before. And what was worse was that the noises were disturbing my daughter's sleep, causing her to wake up screaming and crying a lot more often than either me or my wife thought little babies were supposed to. I remember scheduling an appointment with an exterminator and having to take a day off work to wait for them to arrive. Of course, they crawled all over the attic and didn't find any evidence of an infestation. I starkly remember having the observation in that moment. However, while the inspector was fumbling around in the attic, the noises he was making sounded almost identical to the noises I kept hearing every night. The thought gave me chills. So when the inspector left, I followed him out the door, waved him off, then got a few minutes of fresh air there on the steps while holding my daughter. Then, for the first time in weeks, my neighbor came out to say hello.
"You know, my grandson is coming over for his birthday soon. He's about your daughter's age. Maybe they can get along with a little play date."
"No, that's okay. Thank you. I don't think she's quite ready for socializing yet. She's still very colicky, and we don't know why. Besides, my wife and I are both very busy with work."
"Oh, do you need a babysitter then? I'm retired, and I've got life insurance and social security checks coming in. You wouldn't have to pay me. I just love to see children grow up."
No, we're okay. We have it all covered. We appreciate it, though." Just then, my daughter started to fuss, crying the way she did when she woke up at night. I caught the neighbor staring at her, but it didn't feel right. Most of the time, old people stare at babies with warm faces and big smiling eyes, but the way he looked at her wasn't like that. And really, none of what he had said lined up at all. I never saw anybody but him go in or out of that place.
A chill ran down my spine along with a realization. I rushed inside my house and locked the door. That night, I was telling my wife about my suspicions while we were lying in bed. I hate to say this, honey, but I think our neighbor is getting into our attic.
What would make you say something like that? Don't try to give me nightmares.
It's just a feeling I have. Call it intuition. I wouldn't say it and freak you out if I didn't really think it was happening. Oh my god, look at that! He's got a flashlight! I shot up out of bed and pointed at the ceiling to where the heating pipe ran up out of our room and into the attic. There was a light shining through the crack that shifted around too irregularly to be anything but a person swinging around a handheld light. I knew in that moment that somebody was up there, and I could hear them too. But I wasn't prepared to go up there and confront him. We were scared. Instead, the very next day, I told my wife to take our daughter and stay with a member of our family. I went out and bought a couple security cameras and placed them in the attic. What I saw sickens me to this day and fills me with a violent, instinctual rage. There he was, that old creep crawling around in my attic, drilling holes in my walls, spying on my family. I had no idea how long he'd been doing this, but I didn't care. Knowing it happened once was bone-chilling enough, but having reason to believe it had become a routine was downright mind-shattering. I called the cops and had him arrested immediately. As of now, I'm still in the legal battle with him, but you can rest assured that a man like me will protect his family, and I will not rest until that snake is rotting in prison.
For all these years, we have no idea what's been going on inside our own home.
An alleged peeping Tom was caught on camera and is now facing charges. Police say the suspect was able to sneak into his neighbor's attic and watch the man, his wife, and his baby through a vent.
The victim put cameras in his attic after hearing noises above his bedroom and seeing some lights that were flashing in the vents.
This story was inspired by a disturbing case regarding a student who had been experiencing paranormal activity at her student home. This went on for quite some time. Little did she know, this would lead to something much more disturbing than what she would have ever imagined. Here's what it looked like. I was a student at the University of North Carolina. I lived at a dorm complex near my campus with several other roommates. At the time of the story, I was usually studying and working for the most part. But besides my busy lifestyle, my boyfriend and I were really into horror films. There was a lot of discussion and reviews about the hit movie series Paranormal Activity at the time, so we usually had movies like that playing whenever we hung out. What made the series so unique was that it was facile, silent, but creepy. It was similar to watching footage from a surveillance camera wherein the characters caught evidence of paranormal activity in the house, hence the movie's title. The poltergeist effects throughout the film were so realistic that they gave us goosebumps. Since then, all the time spent watching ghost films would turn my boyfriend into some kind of wuss. Whenever he would sleep over, he would wake me up and ask me to accompany him to the kitchen or the restroom whenever he needed to drink a glass of water or answer the call of nature in the wee hours of the morning. One day, something particular was happening at my place. I was usually organized with my stuff, so it was easy for me to indicate if something was missing or out of place. Upon returning home from work or school, I would always find pieces of clothes missing, like shirts and pants. Naturally, I told my boyfriend about it, and he just laughed it off, saying, "Babe, you need to really stop with the paranormal activity. See, it's turning us both into little puss."
Max, I'm being dead ass. I feel like my clothes are seriously going missing.
That's when Max suggested that I probably got my clothes mixed up with my other roommate's laundry. When I went to confront them about it, they all denied my accusations, which unfortunately led me to develop further trust issues with them. So, as the days passed, things got more incongruous. More and more clothes went missing, and things in my room started moving out of place. I even saw ominous handprints suddenly appearing on the mirror, like someone had just pressed their hand on it moments ago. I was starting to get convinced that there was truly a paranormal essence living within the household. It was odd indeed, because after watching TV at night, I would always put things back in order. So one day, while my boyfriend and I were having lunch together, he said, "Hey, honey, do you want to move into my place instead? You could stay there if it makes you feel better." Confused at his sudden proposal, I asked,
"What brought this up?"
Max was hesitant at first, but eventually he told me, "There could be something in this dorm, Maddie." His eyes were restless. I couldn't pinpoint what it was he was trying to say, so I asked him to be more vivid about it. Then he whispered, "Do you remember the movie Paranormal Activity? I think it's not safe here." My boyfriend was downright terrified. When I asked him if he had experienced anything out of the ordinary, he mentioned that he had heard loud thuds coming from outside the hallway one night. I tried reasoning with him, telling him that it could have been the other roommates, but he shook his head dismissively and told me another incident, where he went to the kitchen by himself one night since I wouldn't get up no matter how much he tried to wake me. Then, while pouring himself a glass of water, he felt that someone or something was glowering at him from the living room. According to him, while the kitchen lights were on, the living room was pitch black at the time. Attempting to adjust his vision, he immediately made a run for it back to the bedroom, upon noticing that someone with mucky long hair was peeking from behind the sofa. I didn't want to believe him, as none of my other roommates had long hair. Not even the females. They all had short hairstyles. So I said,
"Hey, there's no need to be paranoid, all right?"
Nettled by my lack of consideration, he stood up and said, "Are you calling me crazy? I know what I saw, okay?"
Okay, I believe you. Now calm down."
I raised my hands in silent retreat. My boyfriend was so mad at me that he went home that night, leaving me all alone in a place he claimed had some kind of poltergeist. Yes, I was alone, as my roommates were usually out of town or headed back to their respective family's place on weekends. On that same night, I had passed out from a long day of work and studying. I remember hearing the door to my bedroom creak open. That's when I saw some kind of creepy figure with long hair glare into my bedroom with illuminated eyes. When I turned on the lamp next to my bed, the door was wide open, but no one was there. I was so lethargic that I turned off the lights and went back to sleep. However, moments later, I heard a voice or an animal or some kind of demonic presence frantically growling in the hallway. The voice seemed to have come from the kitchen. So, I instantly got up, took my baseball bat for self-defense, and slowly approached the kitchen. But as soon as I turned on the lights, there was nothing but silence. I tried calling my boyfriend on my cell phone, but he must have had it on Do Not Disturb or was sound asleep since he wasn't picking up. And so, I went back to my bedroom, made sure the door and windows were locked, and went to my bed, keeping the lights on. When morning came, I went to the kitchen and saw several articles of my clothing on the floor. I got dressed and immediately went to work with the mindset that I was definitely moving out come next morning. I told my coworkers about the ordeal and they all vouched for me to call the cops, but I figured I would sound silly calling 911 on a ghost. I remembered asking my boyfriend to swing by after work and stay the night, as there was no way in hell I was sleeping alone another night. When I arrived home, I remember hearing vague noises coming from my bedroom. I opened the door and could hear rattling in my closet. It sounded like a raccoon was rummaging in there. I shouted,
"Who's there?"
Not expecting a response, but miraculously, a male voice answers me, saying, "Oh, my name is Drew." I instinctively opened the door, revealing a man with long hair who was wearing all of my clothes, my socks, my shoes, and he had a book bag full of my clothing. Startled, I said,
"Who the hell are you? And what the hell are you doing in my closet?"
While discreetly snapping a picture of him to my boyfriend, the man then covered his crusty-looking head with one of my hats and walks towards the bathroom outside. I followed him and saw him staring at the mirror, saying, "You're really pretty. Can I give you a hug?"
"Get the hell out of her room or I'm calling the cops!"
That's when we both heard my boyfriend shouting from the parking lot, which caused the deranged man to flee the scene. We ended up calling the cops, which led law enforcement to arrest the man a block away from the complex. Police say the man was charged with a misdemeanor in breaking and entering, and an abundance of other felony charges. But what makes my skin crawl was how he had been living in my closet for God knows how long. I'm just thankful that my boyfriend and I were lucky enough to not get killed in our sleep.
And I just hear rattling in my closet, like it sounds like a raccoon is in my closet. Put my hand on the knob, and I'm like, "Who's in here?" And if somebody answers me, he's like, "Oh, my name's Drew." So I open the door, and he's in there wearing all of my clothes, my socks, my shoes, has a book bag full of my clothes. Then he tries on my hat, goes to my bathroom, looks in the mirror. He asks, like, he was like, "You're really pretty. Can I hug you?"
As much as I walk my house and make sure doors and stuff were locked, but the sad part about it is I was locking this man in the house with us.
The decisions you make as a teenager can influence the course of your life in ways you won't be thinking about while you're making them. You may not even realize that you're making a huge decision, but it doesn't matter, because the consequences of your actions as a naive kid have a huge effect on the rest of your life, despite whether you realize it in the moment or not. Like when I was in high school, I made the decision to not care about class so I could care about messing around with boys. But aside from the obvious about what happens when you mess around with boys, it's the immature men you're forming relationships with at formative times in your life that can also stick around with you for many years. One deadbeat in particular comes to mind. I don't want just anyone knowing his identity, so I'll just call him Chris. We were both each other's firsts, so it felt special at the time. We didn't really know each other deep down. We were just getting down. He got me pregnant while we were still kids ourselves, and because we didn't think school was worth the time we spent in it, we both dropped out and tried to move in together. I couldn't find a job as a pregnant high school dropout, and he couldn't find a job because he was dumb as a sack of potatoes, which I unfortunately didn't realize until I tried to build a life with him. It didn't take long before the little money we had ran out, and things got desperate. At that point, I was about to do the smart thing, admit failure and plead with Mom to let me move back in. But Chris wasn't able to admit defeat. Instead, he resorted to crime. At first, he was just breaking into cars, but it didn't take long before he graduated to breaking into houses. But, like I said, he's stupid, so he got caught. When I had to talk to him on the other side of bulletproof glass, that's when I knew it was time to break things off with him. My baby wasn't even born yet, but I knew the child would be better off never learning anything from his father.
12 years, Chris? Really? Your son will almost be a man before he can shake your hand.
You'll wait for me though, won't you, baby? We'll get through this, right?
Yeah, okay. You wish. I'm not waiting for anybody. I'm gonna go on and live my life. Ain't no way I'm gonna lose 12 years over your mistakes.
So you're just gonna forget about me? I was gonna be your husband!
Wake up, Chris. We were never in love. We were just being stupid. And look where it got us.
In the months that passed after I became pregnant, I think I matured a lot. Chris, on the other hand, hadn't changed a bit. He was still just a boy on the inside. The look on his face when I told him it was over between us, I came to recognize it in my son as the look of a fussy toddler not getting what he wants.
Screw you then, I hate you! Just throw it all away! Throw away everything I did for you, for our kid, for our family! Just throw it in the gutter! That's where you belong anyways, you stupid whore!
Seeing that whole scene with his little temper tantrum, with all those other inmates and family members around us, just made me see Chris more clearly than I ever had before. That sort of behavior just isn't acceptable for a grown man to display, and I wasn't going to subject myself to any more of it. I walked right out of there and never looked back, and I got on with my life. Whenever Chris sent me letters from prison, I just returned them to sender, unopened, with the words no, or never, or get lost scribbled on the back. I learned a lot from my mistakes, but nobody's perfect. Fast forward 12 years to today, I got 4 kids and my baby sister's boy living in my house, but I still never found a man that was worth keeping. I guess I inherited a bad taste in men from my mother. However, my life is still going on, and I'm still dealing with the consequences of my actions as a teenager in ways I never thought could be possible. Strange things started happening in my house. I kept hearing what sounded like a family of raccoons running around in my attic, but every time I tried to listen for it, I wouldn't be able to make it out. I'd be falling asleep and I'd feel droplets of water fall on my face from the vent above my head, but when I got up and checked the vent for condensation, it would be dry as a bone. My baby sister, who only passes through the house from time to time, tried to convince me that it was just the sort of sounds that old houses tend to make, but that never sat right with me. I'd lived there for years and never heard anything like that. That's what made me think there was some kind of animal living in the walls or attic somewhere. But after a few days, even stranger things started happening. Things I didn't think any animal could cause. At random times, I'd hear a loud thud or snap from the attic, like the trusses and beams were cracking and falling apart. But the thing that sent me into a frenzy was the nails. One night, I was lying awake in bed, waiting for water to drip down from the vent. But instead of water, the nails holding the vent of the ceiling popped right out and landed on me, one right after another. That's when I was sure there was some kind of ghost living in the house, and I couldn't take it anymore. I had to know what it was, but there was no way I was going up there. But that's what kids are for. I sent my nephew and oldest son up the ladder to the attic with a couple flashlights and told them to tell me what they saw up there. They were up there for about 10 seconds before they came running down, screaming and crying.
Mommy! Mommy! There's a man! There's a man up there who says he's my daddy!
For a moment, I was in disbelief. Shock. But then I saw the man rushing down the ladder. He got to the bottom and looked me in the eyes. And who else would it be but Chris? Fresh out of prison from just 2 weeks ago, I didn't even have to say anything. The look in my eyes was enough to send him running like a child trying to get away from the whip. The problem with that, though, is that for all the cops say about how good they are at their jobs, they still haven't found the fool, which means I have to worry about extra security. I've since become extremely paranoid and afraid to go to sleep. I lay in bed at night, thinking that somehow Chris is still in the house somewhere.
She had just put her children to bed when she heard a thumping coming from the attic area above her room.
A few minutes later, that's when the nails started popping out of the ceiling one by one. It was just like bing, 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 bing.
Thinking it was an animal, she called her older sons and nephew to go check it out.
My nephew was like, well, if there's something up there, then it's coming down.
But what they found up those stairs still gives everyone in the house the chills.
And that's when they found him, the guy, sleeping inside of my heating unit. He had packed coats and stuff in the heating unit.